Okay, Ellie's not here. I don't know, Shlomo and Jonathan said they would be here. Okay, fine. So we're right at the end of Shah Dalet. We've been through seven categories. We're at the end of the seven category of how Betochen applies in those different seven categories. We're right at the end. Now we're talking about the Betochen that a person has to have in relation to the Schar, the enormous Toiv, the enormous good that is stored away for a person, Olam Haba. And we mentioned last week that this reward that comes in Olam Haba, Hashem gives to ones that he loves, that he cares for. Not in according to what they've done. It's not kosher to their deeds. It's out of just Hashem's unbelievably infinite goodness. Therefore, the correct betochen in relation to this is that a person should do the things that brings him to these high levels. Obviously, it's according to his level. And then they will be worthy of getting this special reward from Hashem, not because they did what they did, but because that's what Hashem wants to give. He wants to give his beloved ones this reward. So if you become one of the beloved ones by doing what you're supposed to do, then you get it as a gift, not as a reward.
It seems like the Indian is both parties given from a place of desire and adoration for the other, not at all that it's equal to we could earn that pay.
Maybe he's not saying what you're saying, but that may be what lies behind it. Yeah, very good. That may be what he's talking about. We'll have to see, because there's the aspect of Avdusya, and we'll have to see how that fits in. But you're right. That could very well be that. I don't know if it's going to be balanced, though, because his rotzon to give us is very different to our rotzon. He's infinite, he's finite. But you might be onto something here. Let's watch that and see how that fits in here. Very interesting thought. Okay. The Yom Yizeh Ba'ava, Boiris Baruch, he should replace all his desires and all his connection to this world. He should remove that and replace that with the love that is for Kodesh Baruch Hu, Rush Tasheyabo, he should delight in it and preoccupying himself with his relationship with Hashem. Yeah, I think you're right. Very good. Well articulated. He detaches himself from the world and its inhabitants. Obviously, we're talking here to very high level people. This is not us, but we do it in our own way. You know, instead of going to work at 8 o'clock, everybody else, you sit and learn till 10 o'clock and then you go to work. Those are the ways of detaching from the world. There are many things that the world's involved in that we're not involved in, that we have detached ourselves. And so we can't do it the way they did it. We can't pack our bags and go live in the mountains for 10 years and not see our wife and children. That's not what we're talking about. But in the principle of it, yeah, that's what we have to do. And then you should have betochen in Hashem. Okay, that's what we set up to. That's what we set up to last week. And now we're starting with this. He says like this: Aval mi sheyiftach al Elokim sheyiskeyu leze mibli mitzuya maisa. Someone who has this so-called false trust in Hashem, that Hashem will give him whatever Hashem's going to give, without the actions that he needs to do. He's a fool. He's ignorant and a fool. There's a phrase the Gemara says, it's like somebody who does the mice of Zimri. And he wants the schar of Pinchas. He does the Aveira, but he wants the reward of the tzaddik. You know, he's behaving like a Rosha, but he wants the reward of a tzaddik. I mean, betochen doesn't mean that I'll just do whatever I want and Hashem will take care of it. No, the person has to do the correct actions. He's not getting the reward yet, this level, for the actions. He's just doing the actions which puts him into a new world. He transcends this world and therefore he's roi from the infinite chesed that Hashem wants to give. It's a different dag of schar completely. And now he goes on to describe the characteristics of somebody who is zoiche to this extra reward in Olam Haba. He says like this. If you want to know how you try, you identify, what are the simonim, what are the identifying traits of people who have reached this unbelievable level, if you want to do a test and see where you're holding, first of all, they teach those who want to serve Hashem how to do that properly. They inform them, they teach them how to be over Hashem. The second thing is when you see them having very difficult challenges and distresses, they accept it. They understand. It's from Hashem. They're not the people that hang around kvetching and complaining. And they view any action they need to take, any work, any toil that they need to do in order to do one of the mitzvahs of Hashem, they consider that easy. Even the most difficult mitzvahs are easy in their eyes. We don't know that. We find some of the mitzvahs very difficult, and we recognize the difficulty, and we prepare, and we deal with them accordingly. Doesn't mean we don't do them. We do them, but we recognize that they're difficult. This person's beyond that. He didn't see any difficulty in doing anything. We see this from the Akedah, for example, which begins, Hashem tested Avram. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah bekiv shonaish. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were thrown into a furnace. The Daniel Begaver Arayas, Daniel was thrown into the pit of lions. Not a pleasant place to be. Vasare Ruga Malchus. The 10 martyrs, the famous 10 martyrs that were killed in terrible ways. He's going through all the characteristics of people that have this special reward, I don't know about reward, this goodness in Olam Haba. Somebody chooses to accept death in order to stay loyal to Hashem, rather than save his life through disloyalty. Some person can save his life, but he has to rebel against Hashem to do that. He'd rather choose death rather than rebel against Hashem. The horish min oisha, he chooses poverty over wealth. Obviously, a person doesn't take his money and throw it away to choose poverty over wealth. We're talking about a person who has matzovim, for example, in Spain, let's say, for example, where had they just converted to Christianity, they could have been given many rewards and very high positions, and they would have been honored in the community, and they chose to flee and to live in abject poverty so they can continue being from Jews. There are many examples of that, certainly in the Middle Ages, when the problem we had was a Christian problem. We see that people were able to do that. There's another area where a person can attain wealth by being dishonest. No one will know, a little white lie, yeah, a little bit of a trick there, whatever, and he chooses not to do that, even if it means that he'll have poverty. So that's another aspect of this that it could be shaykh to us as well. We're not talking about always that the nisoid is abject poverty. A certain deal, he needs some extra money, he could put his foot on the scale, he could do some dodgy things, whatever. Everybody does it. A little white line, he could make some extra money, but he chooses not to. Many areas like this.
And that seems to be the idea of the connection with Hashem, that each person at their own level. as this, what you're describing now, compares to like Misi Sharim and the concept precious, this very high level, then it may be for us that instead of eating 5 chocolate chip cookies, I eat 4. And I'm doing it from a place of wanting to connect to Hashem, to wanting to give this gift to Hashem.
Well, we're not about you giving this gift to Hashem. He's not talking about you giving Hashem anything. He's talking, you're right. I agree with you. First of all, let's just get this in order. I agree with you at 100% that on our level, precious doesn't necessarily mean what the Maseret Sharim describes. I've said this many times. Precious could mean, like you said, he holds back from a certain thing, not because he's giving Hashem a gift. There is that aspect, but that's not what the Chovas Levavos is talking about. But just because he's doing it because he wants to disconnect more and more from the physical world so that he's more available to serve Hashem in the spiritual avoider. That's what he's describing. But you're right. It depends why he doesn't eat the chocolate chip cookie. If he has in mind his avoider Hashem and when attacking from the physical world and having a little bit less pleasure in this world, then for sure, then that's what he's referring to. And each person in his own level can find ways to do this, for sure. There's a flip side of this, by the way, that you need to know. There's a big flip side of this. And that is that part of being a mature avoider, Eved Hashem, is knowing how to use the resources in the world that Hashem gave you. Hashem put things in the world, and he wants us to use them. He wants us to use them properly. So that being perish from certain things can be considered an avera as well. You have to know there's a balance here. It's not so simple. You decide to sit without the air conditioner on in summer and learn because you want to manatek and detach yourself from the physical world. So you're gonna have a problem there, because Hashem put an air conditioner in the world so you'd be able to learn better. You understand? You have to test your precious, and you have to test what you're doing based on your simcha levels and your ability to function properly. One has to be real with himself as well. If that extra chocolate chip cookie will give you the yeshuv hadas in order to be able to serve Hashem better, then have the chocolate chip cookie. You understand? It is a very difficult personal decision. A person has to find in his own way ways of doing this. I always tell people, you want to work on precious? So when you're in the base midrash, don't talk dvarim b'talim. You're in the Beis Midrash now. You have an hour in the Beis Midrash, half an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever you have. You come to Davin Mincha. People stand around chatting. Don't chat. Don't talk in the Beis Midrash unless you have. Don't talk in the Beis Midrash except words of learning. The Chavrusa wants to talk to you about something. It's important. You have to close your Gemara. Get up and go outside. That for me is already a very high level today of precious. But to be careful how we deprive ourselves of the things that the body sometimes wants and needs. If you can maintain your simcha levels and you can cut back, for sure, a person should do that. But you have to be very careful. Yetzer is very clever. Yetzer is very clever, and he gets us to do things which look on the outside to be very righteous and pious, whereas they can lead to a lot of trouble afterwards. A person can start thinking for a while that he's actually holding somewhere in Ruchnias, but he's really not. And when the next Aveira comes along, he trips up in it, and because he thought he was holding where he wasn't. Try and find things to detach yourself from that are, once again, you may not be able to do it for the whole hour. Let's say you have a chavrusa. The whole hour, you may not be able to not talk. So work under the chavrusa the first 10 minutes. Depending on what your problems or issues are. There's a lot of work to be done in this area. I believe speech could be a moridika area for a person to become very big. If we would just focus on that, as opposed to not having a chocolate chip cookie or switching off the air conditioner or putting stones in your shoes in order to feel uncomfortable, rolling in the snow in the middle of winter, that's going to make you a balgaiva. Whereas a tainus dibu for 15 minutes in the Beis Midrash, or when you walk into the Midrash, everyone's talking and it's very sociable, and you go to the corner and you open up a safe and you learn, you're not interested in all the news and all the politics and everyone's talking, that can be, for me, it's a big nisoin, because my job requires me to be fairly sociable around the Beis Midrash, but it's a problem. In the afternoons, I do it. In the afternoons, I'm unemployed, and I sit and I learn, and I try to be as unsociable as I can. Not rude. But, the Balavatim come in and they're schmoozing and those and in, whatever, and I'm just not available. If they really have to talk to me, I'll go outside or whatever. In the morning, I find it a big nisoyin, and okay, that's the job. But you have to find in these areas, you can find a lot of ways to be more connected to Hashem. Not going as far as you're going. You're going as far as saying giving that to Hashem, which is not incorrect, but it's not what he's talking about. And therefore, I'm going to try and avoid it for now. But in Achinami, in developing my relationship, getting close to Hashem, so those are very, very important areas that a person has to be aware of, and to do it in a healthy, nice, friendly way, you know, without becoming unbalanced. That's the key. Key is to maintain balance and simcha.
Yeah, the pieces I'm hearing you say are balance and simcha and ovodah, that, like you said before, in the afternoon you're unemployed. So this is your ovodah that you're doing at that point, and a cheshbon, like, okay, what's right for me at this point? What can I do and what's realistic?
Correct, correct. Yeah, very much so. Okay, so he says like this. And he, okay, so the next thing is, he hands himself over to Hashem's decrees, and he's content with whatever Hashem chooses for him. He hands over, he's willing to accept whatever that Hashem is giving him, whether it's his life, whether it's his panasa, whether it's his health, tranquility, whatever. Whatever's happening to him, he hands it over to Hashem. He's got complete imunah that whatever's happening is from Hashem, and it's for the good. So this person that has all these qualities, he's very worthy of getting this special extra kindness that Hashem wants to give him. And he'll experience unbelievable sweetness, unbelievable reward, unbelievable goodness in Olam Haba. Asham Olav HaKosub, the Pasuk in Mishlei says, "Lahanchil oiva yeshv tzoreisehem amole." I have what to give to those who love me, and I shall fill their storehouses. Hashem says, I have, yesh. Yesh is 310. That's the reward we learn out from there. That 310, that's the amount of Olamos, the world to come. A person is brought down in the Kabbalim. That yesh, Hashem says, where's this pasuk now? La'anchil oive yesh. To bequeath to my beloved ones, yesh. Yesh is 310. 310 worlds. And so they learn it out from that word, yesh. Well, it's Raseim Amol, and I'll fill their storehouses. But Oman, it says in the Pasuk in Yeshaya, that's a Pasuk in Mishlei, the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Ein lo rosa elokim zulosko yasil mechake loy. No one's eyes, Hashem, except yours, have seen what you're going to do for somebody who's waiting for him. For somebody who just, he's with Hashem. He lives with Hashem. He's interested in Hashem. The reward no one's ever seen. No Navi, no one's ever seen that reward. But Amar, and then in Tehillim, he brings the last pasuk, Ma Rav Tuvcha Shetzapanti L'Reyecha. How abundant is your goodness that you've hidden away for those that fear you. Okay. So that essentially is the end, to make a siyum actually, when you finish Perek Dalet in the Chovetz HaLevavos, you're not finished it, but we'll have to come back to it. But when you finish reading it for the first time, you make a siyum. It's very, very powerful, very big. I want to try and use this opportunity maybe just to summarize it. The Sefer brings a very nice summary. And we'll summarize it in the Mitzvah Hashem next week. We'll start Perek Hay. Perek Hay is also very fascinating. Perek Hay is really a lot of Lamaisa, very practical. It takes a look at the differences between someone who's a Baal B'tochen and someone's not. Both doing the same thing. They both get up in the morning. They go to daven. They go to work. They're doing the same thing. It looks on the outside externally, they look exactly the same. But the Baal B'tochen and the not Baal B'tochen will see the Chovetz HaLevavos pouts out very significant differences. And we'll see in our own lives how a lot of this is manifest, not just in panosa, not just in health, many different areas. It looks like you're doing the same thing. You and him are sitting in the waiting room to see the doctor. You look identical. But when you x-ray a little bit and you look to see who's the Baal B'tochen, how do we, and we'll see this will become a very important template for us to work on B'tochen, is when you're asking yourself, okay, so how does a Baal B'tochen deal with this? How do I deal with this? What's going to look different here with Bitochen, without Bitochen? It becomes very practical and very useful, powerful tools. That's Perek Hay. In the meantime, I just want to summarize. We've been on Perek Dalet for a long time. I've forgotten what we've done already. There's a very good summary here, so let's just go through it. He says like this. There's seven categories of things that Hashem gives to people, and each one has its own application of Bitochen. In each area, a person needs Bitochen. So there's health and basic sustenance. The basic physical needs that a person has, as we mentioned, that these are completely guaranteed. If Hashem wants you to live, he's got to give you food and health and whatever. If he doesn't want you to live, then fine. But as long as Hashem wants you to live, you're guaranteed the basic things you need for life, to live.
Now, is that for the individual or for the whole family as well?
We'll see. One second. In the first category is about himself. Person's basic needs. We had a long discussion, and I think in the summary, he's going to bring that down now as well. There was the third category, the fourth category, I can't remember. How that relates to family, wife, whatever, for sure. Now we're talking about the person. The person wants you to survive. Whatever you need to survive, you can guarantee it. Yes, you have to make your shtadlis. Okay, that's another discussion. You have to maintain your health. You have to make a shtadlis for panasa. But you should realize that your effort will only be enabled you to realize what Hashem thinks is best for him, and you have to surrender yourself to Hashem's decision. That's what the Baal Bitochen does in that area. Somebody showed me that if you'd bought a certain cryptocurrency a year ago for $5,000, you could have sold it yesterday for $1.6 million. So I said, that's very nice. He said, no, don't you feel like, you know, you feel bad you didn't buy it? I said, no, because if Hashem wanted to give me $1.6 million, first of all, he has lots of ways of doing it. And if he wanted to do it through this way, he would have put it into my head to find out about it and to buy it. A year ago, I never even heard of it. I didn't even know it wasn't even Shaykh. It means it's not for me. I don't feel any, wow, I wish I'd known, I wish I could have, I wish. No, because if Hashem wanted me to have the money, he would have put it in my head to do that, you know. So he didn't. So that means it's not for me. Okay. So that's the first thing. The second thing is other income. Over and above your basic livelihood, let's call it that. So that's what a person should do. A person should work in his normal work. He describes how you choose what to do. In order to earn a basic livelihood, not to invest extra effort in trying to become rich, you should have a talk in Hashem that if you need extra income, Hashem will find a way to give it to you without any effort. And you need to know also that no amount of effort is going to make it happen either. Therefore, the shtadlis a person makes should be for the basic things that he needs. Now, how you work out what the basic things you need are is a complicated cheshbon. We'll see that also, your question, how does that relate to family also? Because your personal needs are almost nothing. How much does a man need to live on? Most men can live in Dalet Amos. You know, how much do you need? You know, a little office fridge and and yet we have these big houses and all the things and the expenses and whatever, because that Hashem gave us responsibility to look after others. So that we'll see. Very often the extra income that Hashem gives us is not yours. It's not meant for you. People get extra income. They need to know. It might be Hashem's testing to see whether you'll give it away or not. You know, the guy, he sold his Bitcoin for $1.6 million. Hashem's not expecting him to use all $1.6 million for himself. Hashem's expecting to realize you don't need that much money. You carry on living the way you're living and you give the money away. You know, it's not your money. So that's also one has to know. You often ask Shalas, what is yours? What's not yours? How much to give away? When to give away? These are all complicated, practical discussions, but we're discussing just the foundations here. The third category we saw is in regard to family. So first of all, what happens if you don't have any family? He doesn't have family. So first of all, if he doesn't have family for whatever reason, so he should use Hashem. Hashem becomes his best friend. And he should be very grateful that he is not burdened with all these extra responsibilities of raising a family. If one has a family who are tolu on him, they're dependent on him, sometimes the wife is making more than the husband. Very often that's the case. But we're talking about where the family, the people depend on him, his children. So he should do his best and very willingly and joyfully to meet their needs. At the same time, recognizing that this is his obligation. It's a holy mission. It's not some means of he's going to get authority or power over them. And he should rely on Hashem to that he'll be able to fulfill his responsibilities. That's the first thing. You have a family, you have things, they have, you have certain obligations, certain responsibilities to take care of them. So you have to make a certain amount of ishtalas to provide them with their needs. But at the same time, recognizing that Hashem will give you what you need to fulfill your responsibility. And you have to have a tochen in Hashem and do what you have to do. Okay. When you're asking for someone for help, you have to recognize the help comes from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And whether this person says yes or no depends on whether Hashem wants you to have this desire fulfilled or not. Similarly, when you're helping other people in need, you should be thankful to Hashem that he gave you the opportunity to help, to be his I don't like using the word shliach. I have a problem with calling people shlichim, but that seems a lotion that they use. And therefore, you should know that Hashem gave you the schus to be the person that's going to help this other person. When you're dealing with enemies, then you should run Hashem's protection. You should be completely tolerant of the insults. Don't take it to heart. And daven to Hashem that he forgives the avarus that are causing these people to turn against him. If your people are shouting at you and being nasty to you, whatever, could be because Hashem's trying to bring your attention to the fact you need to do tshuva. Okay, I'm just running quickly because we have to stop soon. The fourth category, we might have to do this next week when the other guys come. The next one is in fulfilling purpose. You know what? Let's stop here because it's too much to remember. Anyway, next week, Emetz Hashem, we'll have to. Next week is first night Hanukkah. There's no reason not to learn. Okay. Monday night is first night Hanukkah. No, Sunday night's first night Hanukkah. Second night Hanukkah, whatever. Okay, we'll see. But a very important summary this that we're doing now is going to help you regulate the whole of the fifth perek. The fourth perek.
Perfect. Thank you.
And Emetz Hashem, we'll go through it again and we'll summarize it again and hopefully we'll be able to soon start Shahay. Thank you for coming. I appreciate it. Big help. Okay. Take care.